friends, let's turn into our Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29 and to verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And friends, this evening we are going to learn about one very important subject. The subject is the fear of man. And a fear of man, you may be wondering what I'm going to say about a fear of man. But it's one of the strategies of the devil. And it can be a hindrance to both the seeker and the believer. But for our service tonight, we are going to dwell more on the hindrance to the believer. The devil has so many devices which he uses to rob us of our peace with God, and also to retard our progress or our growth in the Lord. And Satan is very subtle. He's very, very cunning. Where people think he's operating from, that's not where he's operating from. That is why when people, especially the charismatics, they don't know the way that the devil operates. He's using them. All the false teachings and all the signs and the miracles that are going on there, they are orchestrated by Satan. And it's to divert people's attention to the reality of life. He has so many devices that, God willing, over the next evening that we have time, we'll be looking at some of them and the way to counteract them. And today, we begin with the fear of man. Sometimes, like I said earlier on, when people are talking of Satan, especially our charismatic friends, they are talking about demon possession, they are talking about witchcraft, they are talking about people sitting on their prosperity. And when it comes to how to deal with them, some are shooting in the air, claiming they are shooting Satan, people are stamping him, people are doing all sort of things. But Satan laughs at them because he knows he has got them in his pocket. Once you are doing that, he knows that he's got you, and he'll be laughing at you. You don't know exactly how he operates. He's very, very cunning. So we are going to learn some of the way that he deals with them. That is why Christ said he's the only one. You have, it's only knowing Christ in truth that is the only way that you can deal with Satan. That is what Christ himself said in both Matthew and in Mark. Let's turn to Mark chapter 3 and see what Christ says about the ways of Satan. Mark chapter 3 verse 27. He says, "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." What Christ is saying here, he's referring to himself as the strong man. And it is only in him, it is only when you are hiding in him, that you can deal with Satan. The devil has to deal with him before he can get to you. That is why we believe that when you believe the gospel and you become born again, the Bible says you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So once you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, then he fights your battles for you. So that shootings and the shouting that people are doing is nothing to the devil. You have to be in Christ in truth for him to fight. And this is the proof. And he repeats it in Matthew as well. And what is fear? Fear is lack of faith. If you fear, then you lack faith. And if you have faith in the Lord, as I have said, you have nothing to fear. What do you fear when Christ is living in you? Do you fear demons? Who do you fear when Christ is living in you? You don't have to fear. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will give you peace and rest. So our text, as we start, we'll be looking at so many passages, but we start with verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whosoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. The fear of man brings a snare. The snare, this has a picture of a trap. You are trapped. And basically what the verse is saying, that which we are going to learn tonight, that whoever lives in fear, particularly the fear of man, will never be a free person. If you fear man, you can never be a free person. And that is tragic. Because why did Christ come? He came to die so that we can have our freedom. So if you have become a believer and you still can't have your freedom, then it is a bad news. Christ died on the cross to purchase our sin, to purchase for us our freedom and our liberty. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17 says, wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. The liberty means freedom. Some people misunderstand this, that they think that because of Christ you can do whatever you want. No, you have your freedom. Your freedom from the devil's machinations, your freedom from this world. So the devil can still use that same fear of man to rob you of that freedom. So now there are two areas that I'm going to focus tonight. There may be more, but we'll see how time goes. First is the control that comes from others when we fear man. What I mean is your personal freedom can be encroached upon when you operate in the fear of man. You may say, I don't fear any man, I don't fear anybody, but we are going to learn how serious this issue of fear of man is. And the second area, which is a major one for us, especially as evangelical Bible believers, is the hindrance in sharing the gospel or in evangelism. There are two main ministries, very, very, very important, and yet, because of fear of man, so many people cannot engage. Bible, visitation, evangelism, and prayer meeting. These are very powerful ministries in the Christian faith. In fact, Spurgeon refers to prayer meeting as the power of the church. And yet, how many people come to prayer meeting? Not only in here, everywhere that I've gone to, few people come to prayer meeting. And even the few that come, some don't even want to pray. I'm not saying everybody can pray or must pray, but some of them could be fear of what other people will say about his or her prayer. So you won't even pray. In the same way, some people fear to go for evangelism for fear of rejection by men. Even it happens to me. But if you venture, you will see that the fear is not there. There's nothing there. But the devil will put in your mind, so that for the fear of man, you fear to even go on visitation. Now, like I said, from the first one, we are looking at personal freedom. You are controlled by others for the fear of them. For obviously, if you fear somebody or if you fear something, then you allow that person to control you or that thing to control you. Whether it's your opinion or their attitudes or a sense of rejection, like I said, the fear becomes your master. So that fear is now controlling you. It is the fear of disapproval, or as someone will say it, a disease to pleasure, to please somebody. That is another area that will rob you of your peace and your freedom with God. And I'm sure all of you here can testify that sometimes, because of what people will say about you, it affects your witness to God. And like I said, the second one is the hindrance in sharing the gospel. If you fear men and cannot witness to them, we call it a spiritual lockjaw, like your jaws are locked because of the fear of man. I was listening to Joel Dickey one day at the School of Theology in England, and he said that even if a day passed by and he hasn't witnessed to somebody, they think there's something wrong with him. He wants to make sure that he speaks to somebody every day. Sometimes in the lift. Everywhere he meets people he wants to witness to. Are you like that? Do you think people will reject you? So you don't want to talk to them about the Bible? it is the fear of the man that is robbing you of your responsibility, because you are saved to serve. We are saved to spread the word of God. So if you are nervous or you are afraid or ashamed to share the gospel because of fear of being rejected, it is a very serious thing before God. Now, like I said, many of you will say that this fear of God, for me, it is not there. But I'm telling you, I'll tell you about some people in the Bible, believing people who are strong in the faith, that this fear of man affected them. Now, we are not going back to looking at so many of them, but let's talk about even Abraham. He was a man who suffered fear. I don't know whether you recall the story in Genesis chapter 26, when Abraham had to go to Egypt, and he was so scared that someone would pinch his wife, and for that matter, he feared the people and lied that the wife was his sister. Even though we know she was his half-sister, that's not what he meant. He meant the fear of the people. The fear of the people. So he had to lie that so that the people will not take Sarah and kill him. It's not surprising. This man, Abraham, with such a promise from God, God promised him and he said, I will punish anyone who curses you. I will bless anyone who blesses you. I will curse anyone who curses you. I will protect you. I will guide you. I will direct you. And yet Abraham had to lie because of fear of the people that he was going to. And that got him into trouble. But God got him out. But then, after God even got him out, it didn't stop him from doing it again. A second time, he lied to Abimelech. The same thing, that Sarah was his sister. And at the root of all these things is the fear of man. Because in Genesis chapter 20, verse 11, Abraham was explaining. And look at what he said. Because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife. You see, this is in spite of all God's promises that God gave him in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. We will read there what God said to him. And in spite of all these things, because of the fear of the people, that they don't fear God, he has to lie to them. Look at what God said to Abraham. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And look at what he said in verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. If God has told you that you think the people who don't fear God can kill you, and yet because of fear for those people, Abraham lied. It's not interesting at what the fear of man can do, because the fear of God is not there. He had to lie because of fear of man. And I don't know whether because of what he did, it became an example for his son to also do the same thing. Isaac did the same thing, exactly what his father did. In Genesis again, in chapter 26, said, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine. That was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went into Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. Listen to what God was saying, and I will be with thee, I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my law. Look at what God said to Isaac too. And then he came to Gerar. Let's see what he said. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. Why do you say that? The verse goes on. For he feared to say, she is my wife. Lest, said he, what he said is that the men of the place shall kill me for Rebekah. Look at what he's saying. With all the promises that God has said to him that he will bless him, he will protect him, he will, through him people will be blessed. Yet he feared the men, and he also lied. We have a similar one with Aaron, Moses' brother. I hope you recall when they were, Moses was coming from Mount Sinai, when he went to receive the law, when he went away and he was keeping long, and he came and see the people they were worshipping. They were worshipping idols. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 21 to 24. And listen to what Moses said to Aaron. What did these people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? Now he's blaming him. He's getting blamed. And look at what Aaron said. Say, don't let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people. Listen, he's talking about the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, look at what God did to bring them from Egypt. And in spite of all those things, what he's saying, we don't know what has become of him. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. See how it's lying. And it's all because of the fear of the people. What the people will say. The people were complaining about Moses keeping long and so on. So they wanted the God. Now the God that brought them from Egypt down there, now they wanted another God. And this man, Aaron, agreed because of fear of man. You see what he said? They said to me. It's not silly for him to say that they said to me. So what they said is what he wanted to do. So we threw the gold into the fire, and this calf just came out. What is it? It was the fear of man. That was at the root of all this Aaron's problem. He did fear the people, what they would do to him. So many great men in the Bible suffered from the fear of man. Another character is Elijah. I hope you all know Elijah, a very powerful prophet. It's incredible what Elijah did, and yet because of fear, for even his case, it wasn't a man, a woman. We'll see what Elijah did. You remember the challenge he had with the gods of Baal, and when God displayed his power, when he called God to come and devour all their sacrifices, they called their gods several times, and yet their gods were sleeping. And yet Jezebel, the woman, he sent messengers to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, which means he was threatening to kill him. And look at what he did. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. Elijah, that he had seen how the power of God is. When a woman threatened him, he was running away. And he ran away. He ran away because of Jezebel. Now, he said he went to Beersheba and left his servant there. He ran away and left his servant. Eventually, he was found in a place hiding. He was even contemplating killing himself. What was the root cause of all these things? Maybe we may think that because he was tired and afraid and worried, but no, it is the fear, even in his case, of a woman which was controlling him. And he was manipulated by the woman by name Jezebel. I want to spare just a little bit of time to also look at King Saul and King David, what they also went through, their experiences in life, and very, very similar. I don't know whether you remember that both Saul and David came from families of very little worldly significance. They had very, very similar backgrounds. They all kept animals. They were shepherds, and they were all anointed by Samuel before they became king. And they were not only kings, but the Bible tells us that they were both prophets. And we also know that they both sinned against God. It's on record that both of them confessed their sins. But what do we see? God forgave one his sin. which was David, but he rejected the other one. You know that David was able to find restoration. He came back to God and God forgave him. That is what we read in Psalm 51, when he realized what he has done and he prayed to God. What happened to Saul? He corrupted himself more. That's all. And even he came to a point that he was looking for David to kill him. We all know that story, that he was looking for David to kill him. So what was the difference between the two of them? It's very simple. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, it says, the Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. That is David. He said he has sought for himself a man after his own heart. So God sought after the favor, his heart. David's heart was sought for. But Saul's heart was bound by the fear of man. What did Saul do? You know, in those days, before they go to war, especially God's people, they had to wait for Samuel to come and pray. And then they go to the war. But in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1, verse 13, we read, Saul waited 7 days. In the same way as Aaron and Co were waiting for Moses and he wasn't coming. The same way Saul, he was also waiting. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal. What this race? And the people were scattered from him. The people were waiting for Samuel to come and perform whatever they needed to perform before they go to the war. And because they were delaying, the people scattered over him. Because he feared that the people would scatter. Verse 11 says, when Samuel came, Saul himself has illegally performed the sacrifice. And in verse 11, Samuel said, what have you done? What did Saul say? The same phrase again. When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come. And so that is why he made a sacrifice himself. When God had said that Samuel is the one, and they were winning all their wars until this one. Why did he do that? He feared the people. Because of the fear of man. So his heart was set on pleasing the people and then maintaining a good image before the people, but not before God. We see the same thing again in chapter 15. This time concerning the king of Amalek. God had given instructions that his people were to be destroyed completely and all their everything must be destroyed. But in chapter 15 verse 9, let's read what he said. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep. See, God said, go and destroy them and their livestock. He said he spared and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but eventually despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. The things that were not proper are the ones that they destroyed and kept the good ones for themselves. Now look down to verse 20, when Samuel is now asking him, why have you spared Agag and the beast? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Look at what he's saying. Even though it's some kind of partial obedience, he said, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And may I just mention, like I'm telling you, that the danger in partial obedience. You see, sometimes you think you have done something, but not exactly what God wants you to do. And this is what this man is saying. He has gone to the war, as God says. He has gone to the war, so he has obeyed God. What about what God said? That God interested in obedience or in sacrifice? Go and destroy them. He said, I kept them as sacrifice for the Lord. Now he's blaming the same people again. Look at what Samuel said. Has the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin. He is referring to rebellion, that is as a sin as witchcraft and stubbornness, as is in iniquity and idolatry. And he said, because you have rejected the word of God, he also has rejected you from being king. Now God is going to remove you and bring another king. Look at verse 24. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your word. You see, after doing all those things, because what he's saying, I fear the people and obeyed their voice. You see, he's still saying about the same thing, that he feared the people. But Samuel said to him again, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should give in. Then Saul said again, I have sinned, and yet honor me. Even though he knows that he has sinned, he is still pushing the blame on the people. So Saul is another lesson of all of us concerning the fear of man. We can also talk about some of them in the New Testament. Can talk about Peter. Peter is another example. This afternoon when I was teaching these children about how God used Peter, the vision that Cornelius saw, and the same thing that Peter saw. Peter was who God used to now unite both the Gentiles and the Jews. So many things about Peter. Peter was the one, when Christ was asking who do men say that I am, it is Peter who was able to say that you are the Son of God. He is the one who was given the keys. He was the chief apostle. He saw so many things. He walked with God, saw all the miracles that God has done. And yet, when a young girl asked him, were you not one of them? Are you not a Galilean? And one of his, talking about Christ's disciples, Peter denied him. He denied the Lord. He was even cursing, swearing oaths, but he never knows. Look at Peter, who has seen everything about Christ and has been used by God mightily. Now, because of what the people will say, he feared and denied Christ. What was it? It's the fear of man, the fear of the people there that made him do that. Now, it is also the same fear of man. That is the reason why many of the Jews from the beginning, who even knew that Jesus was the Messiah, they could not openly confess Christ. They feared the people, even though within themselves they knew that Christ was the Messiah. Let's turn to John chapter 12. I will just read it to you because of our time. So nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. You see, because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They believed Christ. They believed that he was who he said he was. They believed that all the miracles, the signs and the wonders, all attested to his identity. And yet, for the fear of excommunications from the synagogue, they denied Christ. They did not confess Christ. In fact, it was the same fear of man that caused Caesar. Because they said that if you let him go, then you are not a friend. You are not Caesar's friend. That is Pilate. When they sent Christ to him, he said that if Pilate would let Christ go, even Pilate, who was not a believer, yet because of fear of man, of not being the friend of Caesar, he gave in to the people. So like I said, the fear of man is another tool that the devil used, even with mighty men like all what we have told you. This same Peter, I will also say something small about him before we go. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, this is what Paul was saying. He said, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I will sue him in the face, because he was to be blamed. Why was he to be blamed? For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing that which were of the circumcision. You see, this same Peter who saw a vision, the vision was like a spirit coming to him, and he said, God said, eat, kill and eat. And he said, no, I've never eaten this. God was showing him, now both Gentiles and Jews who are believers are one. Yet that same Peter, when before Paul and Co came, he was eating and dining with the Gentiles. But as soon as he saw them coming, he withdrew from them. Look at such a hypocrisy. It's all because of the fear of the people. And even what he did affected Barnabas, who was also carried away with that same thing. It's incredible. When you look at Peter and what God used him, especially in the book of Acts, you can read more about him. See how he was mightily used, and yet the fear of man is what caused him. So now, for the few minutes that we have, we are going to look at how we can get free from this trapping, how we can get freedom from the fear of man. Like I said, in the coming weeks, we'll be learning more about the devices of Satan and the remedies that we have. Now, the first thing I want you to recognize and confess is that there is the fear of man. You have to believe that it is something, we have a problem about fear of man. If you are saying that there's no fear of man, it will be difficult for you to get the solution to it. You must see it as a problem. Be honest with yourself that there's a problem of fear of man. Often people say, oh, as for me, I don't fear any man. I can preach to anybody. But deep down, you have to admit that that is a problem. Personally, I can also admit that I've had that problem. Even now, sometimes you are going on visitation and you see some people and you say, oh, these people, no, I don't even want to talk to them because maybe for how they will reject me. But you approach them and you see that they are the ones who will even listen to you. But the devil has put there to hinder us from sharing the gospel, evangelizing for our Lord and Savior Jesus. So we have to first admit that fear is there. And you also have to admit how this fear of man is robbing you. You have to also accept that the fear of man is robbing you. It is not enough to say, well, that the fear of God is there, I believe, but not to accept and believe that it is robbing you, what it is doing to him. Like I said, in evangelism, one of the main reasons we fear is that we don't know what the people will say or what they will do. So we fear of being rejected. So it is still fear of man. So you have to accept that this is there. And then once you accept it, then you pray and the Lord himself will deliver you. Like all the devil's devices, it is only the Christ himself who can deliver. But you must accept, just like sin, you must accept that you are a sinner before your sins be forgiven you. In the same way, you must accept that this fear of man is robbing you. What did James say? He said, count it all joy when you enter into various trials. You see, when he's talking about these trials and all the troubles, it is not about troubles with your family at home or the pains and what we go through in this world. It is all about the fear of man that is robbing us from performing our own duties as Christians. Like I said, we must trust God's promises to us. In Romans chapter 8 verse 31, it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And then in verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of the soul? And then in verse 37, he said, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You have Christ in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son, they are all dwelling in you. What do you fear in this world? There's no situation that God cannot take you through. In Psalm 27 verse 1, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? See, so as Christians, we must believe all these things, all these affirmations, and know who we are, that we have been saved from our sins, we have become children of God, He is protecting us, He is guarding us, He has sent us into this world, so that this fear of God, fear of man, it should rather be the fear of God. Christ said, don't fear the one that who can just kill you, the body, and cannot kill the soul. If there's any fear, it is God that we should fear. For He is the one that can kill both the body and the soul. So we need to recognize and confess that this is a problem. And then, like I said, secondly, we also need to believe that this is robbing us. It is robbing us of our peace with God, of our services to God. And the third thing we also need to know is to submit to the renewing of our mind. This is very vital, because if you have been obeying fear, He is the one that you are obeying. You are obeying fear. Now they are your master. So Jesus Christ, He is meant to be your Lord and your Savior. He is the one who can protect you. He is the one who can guide you. Man can do nothing to you unless God gives him. When the devil was going to attack Job, he had to go to God for God to allow him. And even then, God said, you have a limit where you can get to. Never touch his soul. So we should have this in us, that we have Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, we have God the Father in us. So we must go and then don't entertain this fear. So we must repent if we have ever done that and seek His help for His guidance and His protection and direction. Like I said, there are so many devices of the devil, and then the only way out is to pray for an empowerment from the Holy Spirit. Even the apostles and the disciples, Christ said they should wait until the pouring down of the Holy Spirit before they go out and preach. And from if you read Acts, you could see that before the day of Pentecost, they were very timid. When Christ came, they locked themselves up in the room. Christ had to enter through the walls. And after that, after Christ had poured His peace on them, that's when they had the power to go out and preach. So with us too, we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to be in us, to strengthen us. Because any church that I've gone to, prayer meeting, evangelism, very few. And for me, I see it as the fear of man. What people will say about you. Why should you let man, the fear of man, rob you with all the blessings that God has promised to give you, with all the protection that you have? Why should you fear man? So my prayer is that the Holy Spirit Himself will empower us, that this fear of man will get out of us, and we can serve our God, the God who has sent us, so that we can get His blessing and then his guidance and protection. In Galatians chapter 1, which as we get to the end, from Paul says from verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I will not be a handservant of Christ. This is serious. If the one who saved you because of fear of man, you can't be his hand servant, and it's a very serious thing. So my prayer is that the Holy Spirit Himself will guide us, will strengthen us, protect us, that this fear of man will come out of us, and we will be the true disciples that Christ has saved us to do. So this night, you must be determined and resolved to take risk to come out of your comfort zone. Let's all get involved, because we are saved to save. We are saved to help other people. Don't let the fear of man keep us from doing our will. And I pray that the Lord Himself will bless us in this area. In His name's sake, amen. Let's turn to our last hymn. And to hymn number 499.